Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the October issue, where we'll cover ADHD Awareness Month, misinformation, stigma, and the media, and ADHD champions, surviving and thriving. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody, welcome to this great edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we are in the middle of ADHD Awareness Month, which is our favorite time of the year to host some real unique content, some fun stuff, and hopefully you guys give you something to learn. Our topic tonight, an unplugged interview with an ADHD entrepreneur, and I think we got a special treat for you tonight. We got a character in our virtual studio that it's an absolute blast. He's a loyal listener of the program, and I think we're just gonna have a real good time tonight. Real quickly, today is Wednesday, October the 21st in the year 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This show is being taped in advance. Just for some scheduling reasons, but know that that's there. Really quickly, Dr. Barkley has continues to encourage me to promote ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website used to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. Also, Edge Foundation last month kind of launched a webinar called Behind the Wheel with ADHD, which is actually kind of a fascinating type thing. It's basically the incidence of accidents and travel problems and stuff with ADHD teens is much higher than the rest of them, and they are actually training driver's ed instructors on ADHD so they can deal with it, and they're actually kind of working with parents. I know they had two webinars last month, the taping of this. I don't know what's to come, but I would encourage you go to edgefoundation.org/parents/webinar to find more information on that. Also, the Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder conference is around the corner. It's in New Orleans, November the 12th through the 14th. If you have not been to a conference and you have ADHD, you need to go. It's all about the tribe. There's lots of really good content there, as there is on this show, but I cannot stress with you how much more you get out of that experience on being among others with ADHD. It's very transformational. To learn more about that, go to chadd.org. And so let's get into the meat of the show. Again, today we have an entrepreneur who has got some good stories for us and a big, big Alabama fan. And with that, I'm going to say, Slade, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff. Great being on here, and thank you for letting me just visit with you.
Hey, it's a pleasure having you on. Now tell me, Alabama's going to do something this year?
We hope so. We think they're – have the right team, the right coaches, and the right discipline right now. So we'll see at the end.
All right. Well, I had thought about having you sing the fight song, but we'll spare our listeners from that. Other than that, we'll just go Roll Tide Roll. How's that?
Sounds great.
Slade, as an ADHD entrepreneur, I want to kind of talk about your experience having ADHD in that environment. And I guess I kind of want to begin is, over the years, you've learned, because ADHD is so much about self-regulation, and having that need to be able to pause and stop what's going, can you tell us about how you've come to learn to pause and what just learning to pause has done for you?
Absolutely. I would say, first off, though, Jeff, that for the first 40 years of my life, having ADD and not realizing it, just I can compare it to being a caged lion. that just was pacing back and forth, and was really ready to get out. And so having the opportunity when we first connected, what really drew me to realize that you're an indispensable partner to me was the phrase, pills don't equal skills. And nothing negative on the pills aspect, but understanding that's what I was missing. I did not have the skills. I've always been a driven person, always been a passionate person, enthusiastic, hard worker, all that from the very beginning. But I did not have a plan. I did not have a methodology that worked for me. Not for everybody, but for me. And so I can honestly say from the moment we started to talk, it really did drive me crazy. Because you were trying to help me understand me versus me just having a blueprint, follow this, do this, and then in 30 days, you'll be good to go. And so this journey, kind of what Coach Wooden would say, success is a journey. It's not a destination. And that's what I'm enjoying right now is learning a methodology for me.
So thank you very much. I loved what you just said, so let's just make a slight detour here, because in terms of learning and understanding how you work, one of the things that we had talked about early on is just talking out loud and the ability to get your thoughts out and organize them. Can you share with our listeners kind of that revelation and experience and how you use that to your advantage?
Sure. I think even as you were talking about that, or for me, it's the acronym that we've developed, you know, over the last few years. Is for me, it's the LPPP. It's listening, pausing, pondering, proceeding. That listening to me is totally different than just listening with your ears. Mm-hmm. It's with my ears and my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be aware of what's going on. I did not understand that. I was always ready to go to the last P, proceed. When I went to the last P, and as an entrepreneur, as a highly driven person, whoever it is, you go so wide open, you can get there, but it kind of looks like the Tasmanian devil. You blow things down. You'll get it done, but there's going to be casualties, you know, or fragments out there. So I would say having to learn that acronym for me has helped me literally start to address things. It's changed my relationship with my wife, my children, my employees, friends, you know, civic things I'm involved in. And that next letter, the P, the pause, I never understood how powerful that has become for me. And just learning to just stop long enough to just stop and just become aware what is happening here. Because I've always heard the phrase, you know, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yep.
Well, if you go faster, that doesn't mean it's going to get any better or clearer.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about being able to pause. What enabled you, because if it's easy, everybody would do it. What enabled you to get to the point where you could pause and actually stop and do it? I mean, the execution of that is really the hard part. What enabled you to get there?
Great question. I would say for me, I wouldn't have turned it this way because in my mind, I'm right. You know, I'm always, you know, why can't people just get it, you know, perspective around me? Well, I was in a meeting a couple of years ago. I helped start a nonprofit organization, and I'm sitting with a very neat individual, very successful individual in the oil industry. A very high-powered man, very focused, and I talked for over an hour and a half, and I could see the guy just dying, literally melting in his chair, because he couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. He was drinking from a 5-inch water line from my mouth, and I was blowing him over. Everything I was saying was great, but I did not understand. I've got to pause here. I can't even let him understand, is this water? Is this gas? Uh-huh. What's coming at me there? So I don't know if that's making sense, but for me, it's starting to realize it's not just to pause, you know, only, because you can just say, well, let's just do that one P. Well, if you're going to pause and you got to make a decision in life, you can't sit there forever.
Yep.
If the enemy's coming or something's coming, you got to be able to pause. But then you got, for me, and we had a great time when you said, what's causing you procrastination? Well, I'm the kind of guy that I don't have an issue making a decision. I mean, I know where I want to go to, but what was challenging me was friction started to arise with people around me or family or whatever, and I wasn't pausing. But when I finally understood why I was procrastinating, I am a visual person. I have to see it to understand. I need people to teach me the concepts for me so I can see it in the context of whatever it is, my business, my family, marriage, parenting, whatever. Once I can see it, then I can go implement it into those areas, business, family, marriage, whatever.
Yep, yep.
And what got really challenging for me, though, was that procrastination. I was pausing. I was starting to learn to pause, but then I did not understand that next P, the pondering. For me, that's starting – for me, it can mean different things to different people. For me, it's seeking counsel or going to somebody that can help me see it and then teach it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's me just pausing long enough. Some people might – That could be in prayer for some people. It could be talking to some people. It could be watching a video, what have you.
Yep. So
that's
kind of
what happened for me.
Yeah, so going back, we have different experiences, but as a coach, one of the things that I remember on the early side is mirroring back to you when you would describe these long hour-and-a-half diatribes in front of these people, two things. Number one is, you know, Slade, I think that you're talking out loud and that you're expressing yourself. And the other thing is you do so much in terms of remembering things and doing things by telling story. And by mirroring that back to you, I remember in one call in particular, I was like, you know, I think that you're kind of talking out loud. It was fascinating to me because really within 10 minutes, you stopped and you actually said, I need to talk out loud for a second. And you went on to describe whatever it was. And it was funny because I stopped and I said, did you see that you just said – I need to talk out loud at the beginning of that. And it was funny because you had represented to me that you weren't conscious that you had done it before, but the awareness that you were doing it, all of a sudden you began to ask permission for it, which was kind of changed. And then the other thing, too, we'll talk about this in a little bit after we come back from break, was the notion of that you tell stories to people, and at first you didn't really understand the value of it. Now we're starting to realize that you're a natural storyteller, which is really good in the sales process, that I really think has kind of helped you get to where you're going. Now, that's my reflection back on that. Just any comments on that before we go to break?
Yeah, that was – you hit it on the head because that man would say he loved the conversation. I did not have that relationship connected deeply. And so my influence really started to shrink. Had that been somebody close to me, with you, I've got the relationship with you and I trust you, you can tell me something. You can break me down in the middle of a conversation by saying, hey, you mind if I talk to you? Well, I call those foxhole people to me, people that I know trust me, that will talk to me. You're one of those partners. When I've got others and many others in different areas. But that awareness, I think that word is so doggone important right now. I look at everything differently. When I'm pausing, I am looking again. I'm aware. What is happening here? Why is this friction happening here? So when I could learn that I do have a gift to tell stories, if I don't do those things that we're talking about, listening and pausing, I'm going to lose that influence of an opportunity, to whether it's to connect deeper with a child, a spouse, an employee, versus just continuing to have friction and go, why aren't things changing? That's been humbling.
Tell you what, want to run to break and come back and pick up where we left off and kind of you talked about procrastination a little bit, and I want to kind of touch base with that. So, everybody, we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk here Radio. We're here with Slade, an ADHD entrepreneur, and before the break, we were talking a lot about awareness. And I have to tell you, as a coach, when I'm working with people, a lot of times you begin to listen to patterns and you mirror things back, and we try to kind of understand what they're paying attention to kind of get an awareness of what might actually be in the way. And Slade, I know in listening to you over a period of time about areas that you procrastinate, it became kind of clear as one of those areas that you do is when you're not really clear on what to do or what to do next. And I think that notion of pausing and actually becoming aware of the fact that you don't know what to do or what it allows you to ponder and then proceed in a different direction to go get the knowledge so that you can move past procrastination. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I think what's really been fun for me, and it's been freeing. It's been fun. I've had fun my whole life, but this is getting fun. Now, I say it's getting fun. I'm not saying it's easy. Anything worth doing in life, as my father would say, anything worth doing is worth doing excellent, but it's going to be hard to be the best at whatever you want to do. This is getting fun, though, for me, because I am becoming aware. Now, I remember one time I kept having friction with people, and I kept making a comment, I wish they'd just get it. Why can't they just get it? I made that so many times that it was fun bouncing this off back and forth, and you really made me aware of, all right, let's throw this out here. What does this mean to get it? And I won't get into all of that, but what I will get into is we started to try something, and this is what I love personally about you and maybe other coaches and stuff to do this, but I'm not a cookie-cutter person, and I don't think any other ADD person is a cookie-cutter person. That I think, for me, it might work for somebody else, and it doesn't work for me, but we try things. And if it works, then, hey, let's stick with it. Let's get it deeper. Let's peel that onion back further. So for me, it was getting fun to where I would go and tell somebody something. And then, in the past, I would say, here's what I want. Go do it. They didn't do it right. They'd come back. Whatever, employees, family, whatever, and then, or communicating something to family, whatever, and then it was the friction. I just told you everything I needed to do. In my mind, I'm frustrated. But then I started to do this for what we talked about. Mm-hmm. I would share for what I'm talking about. Then I would pause and say, hey, can you repeat back to me for what you just heard me say? Because I'm not sure I said it clearly. Or whatever I would say. That little tool started changing my dialogues with people like you would not believe. Because if they returned it back to me and it wasn't what I needed or wasn't what I was trying to communicate or expectations, then we just had the simple dialogue of the concept, which I'm loving right now, the art of dialoguing. You got to mirror back. You got to validate. You got to be empathetic. And this is getting fun. So now I have certain people on my team, managers or what have you, and one of them loves it because our friction level has come down. He is so black and white on things, and he's phenomenal at what he does. But you can imagine, I think there's two eyes, microscope, telescope. One's the day-to-day, the other one's the vision. I'm the vision guy constantly, and I wasn't letting him see for what I was trying to do or need. And so hopefully that will be a little bit of an example.
Yep. One of the words that you've been using is friction. And I want to kind of illuminate that a little bit. To me, friction is that stuff that's between point A and B that you don't really think about or acknowledge that kind of gets in the way. And at the top of the show, we talked about how you've begun to learn how your brain works, and we've definitely come to learn that you think in terms of categories. Everything's got to be kind of lumped together. And I remember early on, there was an individual that you worked with that was a consultant that would give you list items of things to do. And for you, there was a lot of friction in it because there was a translation that needed to take place. You had to take the list that he'd given you and then reorganize it into categories and buckets for your brain to digest it. And you were pretty frustrated with that. And everybody, that's an illustration, I think, of really kind of what friction is that translation process is difficult to him. You just want to talk about that a little bit and your experience with it?
Yeah, I have never heard, again, before I had met you, I've never heard the concept of an intuitive thinker or learner communicator versus a methodical thinker, learner communicator. I went through school, college, all that, learning and being taught methodically. And I'm not being negative on any of this with anybody else. I did not know how Slade thinks.
Yep.
I'm an intuitive person. If I can't see and understand how this concept will come into the context of whatever I'm doing, I will have serious friction. And I'm that cage line, pacing back and forth. And I'm ready to get out, go do it. So what got fun is when I started to understand that's where I was able, again, to pause and then have them start to help me see how this looks. So I am I'm a color person. I've got to see it, you know, first. I like to batch things together.
Yep.
I like to have it in color, and then I can follow it. So maybe a better example is I want to be in the best health I can be in. And I like to work out, but I'm a morning person too. But whenever I would get up in the morning before I put the plan together, I was always late tooting to the gym, or I wouldn't do it, or I'd be late to the office, late to the meeting. I was frustrated, that friction. I couldn't do all this stuff, but I knew I needed to be doing this for my health, you know, for my family. What happened?
Yep.
Well, then, if you were to come into my bathroom today at my house, you will see the plan that shows, for me, exactly what I need to do before and then the morning of. I do not miss working out anymore. I mean, on my times. When it hits a certain time at 4:45 in the morning, I'm up and I'm out. But here's what got fun. I do everything the night before. I'll make a smoothie drink the night before. I have all my clothes packed the night before, my gym stuff laid out. It's seamless. And that little methodology for me is awesome. Now, do you know how many times I refer back to that list on my mirror, honestly? I don't refer back to it anymore because I'm so aware of this now. I know enough to know if I do not do it the night before, 98% chance I will not work out the next day. I know
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I also know if I pick my phone up the morning I get up, I will go to business media sites, whatever, Facebook or the news or something on my phone, and all of a sudden it goes to 40 minutes, and I'm wondering, where did time go?
Yep.
And so I don't look at the phone in the morning until I am in or out to wherever I'm going. And I've also had to learn, put the phone down an hour before I go to bed, away from my bed. I know this seems simple, but I couldn't understand why I was wrestling with sleep or why I couldn't settle. I'm stimulating my mind on something that's fun. It's funner to look at Facebook or your news app or whatever than sitting there trying to fall asleep.
What I love about what you're saying, and like overview, is a lot of this awareness has enabled you to adjust your environment to, one, remove temptation and adjust for friction. So in the notion that you're preparing everything the night before, in the morning when you wake up, there's no friction. You're just grabbing, you're out the door. There's no get up, grabbing smoothie, grabbing all that type of stuff. That notion of like, hey, putting my phone in the other room an hour before I need to go to bed removes that temptation. So that you can self-regulate. And the notion of that I understand how my brain works and you're able to organize things in a way that makes it simple and easy for you to get to, again, all that awareness seems to have helped you activate.
Mm. Jeff, I got to say this. You're exactly right. I would say, and some people don't want to talk about things like this, one, as an individual, I want to live my life intentionally to impact as many people as I can to help them in life, to be the best that they can be. Now, that's just, I've been like that from the day I was born, and I'm thankful to God for that. Now, here's what I would also say. A lot of people don't want to talk about ADD. My team knows I have ADD. My friends know I have ADD. And you know what? I'm helping other executives or other friends or friends of mine's children, I'm helping them realize that line doesn't have to stay caged.
Yep.
You can get out of here. Now, here's what's really gotten fun. The biggest struggle I've had, I've never had something control me. People don't like talking about this. I've never had anything control me like the addiction of a nasty habit of dipping snuff.
Mm-hmm.
I started that after college when I was hunting. And that just led into, hey, from doing a little bit, all of a sudden, I did it all the time. I mean all the time. It was disgusting. It was ugly. It wasn't professional. And I can honestly tell you, I didn't even talk to you about it because I knew this isn't something I want to tackle. Fortunately, after I started learning the power of the pause from me, after I started learning how to be aware, after I started doing something, I mean, putting my methodology together, it is crazy to think that what I did for 20-plus years, every day, all day long, I was able to tackle stopping dipping.
Yep.
If you would have asked my wife, would this power of the pause thing work, she would have tried to figure that thing out 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
And so I want to share the hope for people because I kept trying to think, what's this little thing? Do I go take this medicine? Do I go to this diet? Do I go to this therapy or whatever? No. I put it down. It's the LPPA. LPPP.
Slade, I didn't expect that we were going to talk about this, but this is, I love this. I want to spend some more time on it. So let's go to break and come back because I think there's two sides. It's you're saying pausing, but I think there's a little bit more that we can really reveal to our listeners on that. So, again, everybody, we'll go to a break and come back and pick up where we just left off. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. The great thing about doing interviews is all of a sudden you run across something that you didn't expect that's unexpected, and you can it's just a blessing in disguise. And before the break, we were talking about, Slade, you in your struggle to kind of quit dipping. And I want to pause here for a second and say, You know, we've learned from Dr. Barkley, if you've listened to the show for a long time, ADHD is not a deficit of attention. It's really a self-regulation issue. We interviewed Dr. Kenneth Bloom April of, I can't remember, it was 03 or 13 or 14. And the first question I asked him, I said, Dr. Bloom, are we addicted to drugs or are we addicted to dopamine? And this was a great question he'd never been asked for. We're actually addicted to dopamine. The drugs that we're addicted to are the ones that impact that. And nicotine, chocoholics, alcohol, all that stuff are things that impact dopamine, which is a whole another conversation. And so it's fascinating to me over the years is because stimulant medications impact dopamine, and there's a lot of research that correlates ADHD with addictive kind of type behavior. And if you're going to go into the process of trying to stop something like Slade did in terms of dipping, my personal feeling is it's a little bit more difficult, and I don't have any research on this, it's more difficult for those with ADHD because their automatic brain is pushing the lever to go get the reward that they're getting. And so, Slade, when you were going through this process, it came up a couple times, and you really didn't want to talk about it. But then one day, the topic came up, and I think you were ready to deal with it. And you're saying that you paused. And everybody, he did. But how did he do it? What was amazing to me was how you witnessed your own behavior. And I'll never forget, I think it was like you said, I cannot go to the office because there was a stressful thing that you had to deal with, which was we've come to realize that increased your impulse to go do it. But you realized if you go to the office, that was a bad environment for you, and you were going to have difficulty abstaining. The level of awareness, knowing, like, if I'm going to I'm going to pause, and I'm not going to put myself where that temptation is there. And I think you did that for a couple days before you kind of weaned yourself off. You want to talk about that a little bit? Because it's not just pausing. You actually, you're aware of it and didn't put yourself in that situation in order for you to be tempted.
That's such a great point, because I don't want to communicate again. You're sitting at the fork in the road. That's not what I want to communicate about pausing. You got to stop to make sure you don't go into the culvert there or to the thing. But you're making a great point, Jeff. The next part for me is pondering. Now, that means, again, different things for everybody. But I knew enough by this time, after multiple times of us being together, I started to realize, what is my plan going to be? Mm-hmm. How am I going to put this together? I love something, again, Coach Wooden's, he's a huge mentor to me. Obviously, he's not alive anymore, but he was successful, but not by accident. So he had these four P's, planning, preparing, practicing, performing. And I've added two others. First one's praying, the last one's polishing. Now, the one thing I would say is I knew I had to have that plan. So here's what I did. I knew I've got three children, got a wife, I've got a company I lead, and I have multiple, you know, people I'm responsible for. And I was making a choice to go put myself in harm's way. I knew that. Now, my wife has a serious, serious lung disease. She doesn't have that choice, whether she has CF or not. I do have a choice. So I remember literally going to the internet. I printed every single thing off that you could learn about ways to stop dipping. That was pondering for me. That was sitting there starting to get information. I printed off great stuff, ideas, awareness ideas, da-da-da. And I remember printing off pictures, and it was disgusting, honestly. But it helped me. I printed off in a folder, and then for the next week, I had so much stuff to read. The next week, I made a commitment ahead of time because I had the plan. That's what I'm going to do on the bike in the gym. And I read this every day until I read every one of them. And I was getting mentally prepared for what I'm going to face. But I also had to realize that I can't keep doing some of the same things that were triggering these moments for me. So I started to become aware again, what makes me want to do this? When I'm bored? When I'm stressed? Well, I mean, I could go through countless things, but I had to be aware of what in the world makes me want to do this. And that little exercise was huge. So then I put it down in my notes in my phone, on your iPhone. I just put it in notes. Yep. I put that acronym again. Listen, pause, ponder, and I actually ask questions. When I feel that trigger come, I need to pause and ask myself, when I'm pondering, why do I want to do this? What's causing this right here?
Yep.
And then I was able to stop enough. Now, what's gotten fun is I went to a buddy who's been struggling with this too, and guess what? We've held each other accountable, and he's quit too.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what can happen all of a sudden when you just stop long enough to pause and then put your plan together and then to go work that plan and execute it, proceed with it. So
yep.
I don't know if that's a...
Well, it is, and I want to highlight some stuff here. As a coach, he's exactly right, everybody. I want to go to a little bit deeper level on this because he did have a plan, but there's a lot of things that are there. Number one, that other guy that he was doing, there's a body double. We've done shows where we talked about how it's easier to do things in the company of some others. A lot of times he would pause, and you called me a bunch of times when you were feeling that urge and you would process it in order to kind of move it by. The other thing is we talked a lot about when I've given some presentations. There's no research on this, but the experts agree that changing a habit is more difficult for those with ADHD because it's more effortful. It actually takes more self-regulation. And so one of the things that I've talked about people who really want to do something is you actually got to get immersed in the experience. You got to be all in. And when you're sitting there reading the stuff on an exercise bicycle and you're kind of avoiding the office and looking at those triggers, you're really immersing yourself in the experience. And I think that that's the key thing to think about because it's not just not – a lot of people sit down and scratch out the plan, but the awareness of what's the trigger and actually begin to look at those and adjust your plan based off that – for me, in watching you go through that process was really what enabled you to execute. Because so often, those with ADHD, they'll think in their mind what the plan is, but they won't go do it. And you say, well, what's getting in the way? Well, I didn't know what the trigger was. As you understood what that trigger was, and you said, listen, I'm not going to go around where that trigger is. And when I feel that urge, I'm going to pause and I'm going to process. Those are the key things that I, at least from my perspective, really propelled you through this. And now that once you got your sea legs, it just kind of built momentum and went there. And the cool part about this is self-regulation is the epicenter of ADHD. And to say, no, I don't want to dip when you're getting the nicotine and the dopamine rush is not an easy thing to do. And I think that what we've just described can be powerful and very inspirational for some of our listeners.
Yeah, I got to add this too because you're exactly right on this. And here's what I know: if you go into anything in life, you know, if you shoot and then aim, there's a great chance you're going to miss whatever it is.
Yep.
And I really love the saying, and I've added to it, but I love the saying, you know, the difference where you and I or anybody will be in a year from now is the books we read, the people we meet, and what we do with what we learn on a daily basis. Now, what's really been fun for me, again, years ago, I had no idea what ADD was. Had it not been for me taking my child and figuring this out, I'd have never known this. I thought everybody lives as a caged lion, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what really got neat for me is starting to become more aware and then wanting to have these tools. I want to be as polished as I can be in life. But I want to help people. I want to be effective. And so here's what I do now. What, again, the things we read are the people we meet. So what I have come to love, and I never knew it until we started listening to the podcast. On your podcast, mm-hmm. It's funny now. At the gym, when I get done, I'll go in there, change, take a shower, get everything ready, and I'm getting ready, and I always listen to your podcast. And I have no idea what all these other gym members are thinking. You know what I know they aren't doing? They're not asking me to turn it off. And so
oh, wow.
It's actually funny. And so
wow.
I always say, hey, guys, this is something that's just helping me do this. And I've always thought, I know these guys are listening, but here's what's fun. I'm starting to become aware of countless things, of people that you have interviewed, people that have struggled or people that have ideas. And all of a sudden I'm realizing there's a way to unlock that cage. There's
yep.
a way to go have fun in life. That's huge for me is the podcast have made me so much more aware, and I'm learning tidbits. So I'll call you or email you, hey, tell me more about this website. Tell me about this
yep.
person. Tell me on this tool. And so I cannot tell you how vital that's been. And then the second thing I would say that's been huge for me personally, and everybody might have a different way of doing this in life, is the burst calls. For me, that's what I just call them, is burst
yep.
calls. if I've got to have something, again, it's what Harvey McKay says. He's got over 15 coaches. He's got a running coach, a marathon coach, a speaking coach, all these coaches. You have become more vital, and you're one of those foxhole partners to me. And so maybe it's different for different people, but if I didn't have that chance to call out and say, hey, man, I need to run this by you. I need to verbally throw this out, That's fun because it could stop me from taking the left when I should have taken the right. It could have stopped a catastrophic wreck.
And so we talk about this a lot with those. The point of performance is when you've got that thing, it's time to process. You get on for that burst call. You're able to process. You pause. You talk out loud, and you ponder, and then you determine how you're going to proceed in that particular moment, which I really, really want to emphasize that to everybody. That sounds really simple, but so many of those with ADHD can be successful, but they have to deal with things at point of performance. And again, in Slade's situation, the ability to pause and then get on the call and then verbally process and think out loud to kind of move to that next step. He's talked about these burst calls. I can tell you a lot of times I'm just sitting on the other end of the line, and he'll resolve the problem in his own mind just by going through that. Other times there's a question or two to help him see something, but it's very, very powerful. So, Slade, we need to pull this together. Any last comments before we bring things to a close?
If I could share one thing, before I met you, I've had one of the dearest friends I've had a massive impact in my life, and I will be indebted to this guy forever. And he's a coach as well. And now when I knew him in college, he wasn't a coach. He impacted me, mentored me, helped me, a huge family, a lot of boys helped me. And I realized I had this ADD, and he was coaching me then. And I remember coming to the point of realizing, and I went to him, I said, brother, you know I love you, but if you don't learn ADD, this relationship's going to change. He actually helped me to get to you.
Oh, wow.
And that's what's fun for me, because here's what I would encourage any listener right now. Jeff, it might not be you. I don't care who it is for somebody, but you got to find that person if you really want to go through this, because cancer patients, or heart patients, they don't do this on their own. They have specialists that help them. For me, that's what's fun, because you get how I think. You've helped me learn how I think. You've done things so differently. And, again, it's unleashing the cage to help me enjoy the whole plains versus being tied up as a lion. So that's what I would encourage somebody. Don't give up. Keep going until you find that support, help, and then enjoy life.
Absolutely. Slade, that's awesome. As a matter of fact, we had done another interview several months ago with Neil Pearson at Edge Foundation. He, too, is an entrepreneur, and he talked about, you know, finding the right people to surround him, not just help on that side, but just a team around you to kind of help that entrepreneur go. So I had to tie that in together because I think it's similar. So, Slade, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on the show.
Had a great time, and thank you again for everything that y'all do.
And not a problem. Thanks again, Slade, and everybody. We hope you enjoy this edition. Learn more by going to attentiontalkradio.com, and catch us next week for another great show. Take care.